When I was growing up, I was always told that I was too much to handle. I was too loud, too opinionated, too demanding, just plain too much. Now, as an adult, I celebrate these qualities within myself and within the women I know. This is a call to action. This is a space to own your too muchness. This is too much to handle. Hannah Cranston here, and I'm sitting down with Arielle Lori, who is a fitness, health, fashion influencer. She is the woman behind the Instagram formerly known as The Blonde Files, but now simply called Arielle Lori. We are getting into her journey to sobriety and how she bounced back from a crazy party lifestyle to one full of matcha, meditation, Malibu, and being married to Hollywood mega producer Chuck Lorre. But first, before we get to all of that and so much more, I want to give a shout out to reviewer Tess Davis, who wrote, "This seems really cool. The topics you mentioned are things I've thought about a lot. I mean, it seems like everyone always has opinions on what women can and cannot be and what a quote-unquote strong woman can and cannot do. A strong woman doesn't have to speak the loudest in every situation, but they can. A strong woman doesn't have to be completely okay with every aspect of their body, because most aren't. And a strong woman doesn't have to go without makeup to love themselves." On and on. Yes, Tess Davis, you totally get it. On and on is right. There is no prescription for what a woman or a strong woman has to do, act, be, look like, anything like that. And that is the whole point of this podcast, to highlight different women and to highlight different aspects of being a woman so that we can build a community that is inclusive and shows all of the different aspects of that. And that is why I am so excited to highlight Arielle Lori today, because she has a completely different perspective than I think a lot of the health, fitness, fashion influencers on Instagram right now. So hi, Arielle.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
You guys, I have to tell a really embarrassing story. I was in a restaurant a few months ago, yeah, and I saw Arielle, and I like fangirled out. Like, we didn't know each other. I just followed her on Instagram. And I just like awkwardly, well, you know how you're not supposed to go up to like celebrities when you see them? Yeah. And I was like, oh, I just want to tell her thank you. So I did.
It was so sweet though. But can I tell you the funny part? Is that I was at dinner with my husband and he got up to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And that's when you came over and I was like, thank you so much. And then I'm thinking, wait, can we do that again when he sits back down? Because people always come up to him and I'm like, sure. Come on. I got here too.
That but is
I love
so
when people
funny.
Come
next
up to
time
me.
I see you, I'll yeah, do it. I'll pretend we just, like we don't know
plan
each other.
It. Like I'll text you next time yeah. We're at dinner.
Yeah. Like it's at like a Hollywood restaurant and totally. I'll pop up and yeah. I'll just like talk to him. I'm like, oh, what's your name?
Yeah, yeah.
I got you, girl. No, because the reason I wanted to talk to you is I follow a lot of people who do fitness stuff online. It's something that I'm very passionate about. And so I like to see what other people are doing. But I think what's so special about what you do on Instagram, and I'd love to kind of get into it, is you are so real with what you are talking about. And you are so vulnerable. Like even now I'm going to really show myself as a fangirl, but even yesterday you were talking about being in a funk. And I think so mm-hmm. many people can relate to that. But I think so often on Instagram and social media, we see everybody, you know, really showing this side of them that isn't necessarily realistic, and they're like happy. And I'm like, I always love going to the gym and I'm always in a great mood. Whereas that's just not the case for anybody.
Right. Yeah. That's not, you know, I started the Instagram account, as an accountability thing and to kind of track my own progress. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I think it got legs pretty quickly, and the reason that I really love doing it is because I kind of used it as like a personal diary, and it was a way for me to share my story with other people, and I think that's what people connect with. And I just, Instagram is so saturated right now with perfection, and I mean, it's not even perfection, it's fake.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, I just don't, I feel like I don't, that's not what I want to be putting out. It's not what I'm about. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, like the content that I connect with is, are other people's stories and the realness and the struggle. And I say this all the time, but I'm not an expert at really anything that I talk about, whether it's like fitness or nutrition or, you know, skincare or gut health or any of that, but I'm an expert on my experience. And that's, so that's what I try to draw from. And that's what I try to put out.
Yeah.
Because that's what I have to offer. So, yeah, I'm glad that you see it as real and authentic.
Yeah, and no, absolutely. And I think your audience sees that. And I'd love to sort of get into some of that story. Walk me through your journey. Like, how did it start? I think it started like 2 to 3 years ago.
Yeah, so when
I break it down.
When I think about my journey, I kind of go back to like 5 years ago. 5 years ago is when I got sober, and I was talking about this earlier this morning on my own podcast, so it sounds like a broken record, like it's just fresh in my mind. But I start there because that's when I got sober, and my sobriety does not define me at all, but it's just everything before that was a shit show. Mm. Like, I was a drug addict and an alcoholic, and I was aimless, and it was really bad. You know, I was dying at the end of it. And I've shared my story before about sobriety. I won't get too in the weeds with it, but you know, by the end of it, like when I got sober, the doctors all said that I wouldn't have made it through the weekend if certain things didn't happen how it was. Like, it was really bad. Wow. So, and that's not to say, like, you know, I had a good childhood and upbringing and all of that. It's just when I found like my drugs, it was game over.
Yeah.
So 5 years ago, I got sober, and I really worked on my emotional health and building a foundation for my life. And it's hard to start over in your mid to late 20s. And yeah. It was like all the layers were peeled back, and I was like a fresh new baby almost. And so I had to learn how to do life. And so I focused on that for a couple years. And then 3 years ago, I decided that I wanted to add kind of like a physical component and get in shape. I felt like I was emotionally healthy and spiritually healthy. And I felt like it was time to work on the body. And so that's when I started the Instagram account. I was at the time doing Kayla Itzina's program, BBG, which I don't know if you've done
it. Yeah.
It's pretty gnarly.
It's intense.
Yeah. I try to do it now, and I'm like, I don't know how I did it then. I can do it now if I have a day where I have a lot of energy, but I was doing it back then, like consistently, 4 or 5 times a week. But that's when my whole journey into like wellness kind of started. And it's just been a learning process over 3 years that I've documented, and other people have found it interesting, I guess.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that makes sense that you sort of started with the mental clarity and then you sought out sort of the physical health. How did you, I guess, in those dark times, did you know you were in a dark time, or did you not realize it until after?
I think the thing about using drugs and alcohol is that it's an escape. So for me, any time that I did have a moment of clarity where I could really look at my life and see where it had gotten, I would just go use more. I couldn't deal with it. So on some really deep level, yes, I knew. I mean, and that just fueled the shame, and the shame fueled the drinking, and it was just kind of a cycle. But towards the end, I knew that I was physically dependent on drugs and alcohol, and that I couldn't stop myself, and I had already been in treatment 4 or 5 times. I didn't want to ask for help again. And so I just kind of resigned myself to the fact that I was either going to die, which I wasn't suicidal, but I didn't care. And or someone was going to swoop in, and I didn't know who that person was going to be. So.
And what was that point where you decided to get sober?
It actually wasn't really my choice. My family live on the East Coast, and they did a wellness check on me because I wasn't answering my phone and nobody had seen me in forever.
What is that for people who don't know what that is?
They call the police and they come over to your place and they came to my house and they saw me through the window face down on the floor, and they didn't know how long I had been there. I was unresponsive, and so they had to break through the windows, and they took me to the hospital, and somehow I got out of the hospital and went back. And at that point I was living in an empty apartment. My boyfriend had left. It was like squalor. I was living, you know, just, ugh. And I got out somehow. And at that point, my family decided that they had to hire somebody to help. And so they all got on a plane from their respective cities and descended upon me. And they showed up at my doorstep on like a Saturday. And I dropped on the floor and had a seizure. And I was having them a lot. But I had one like right in that moment. And I was taken back to the hospital. And that was it. So I was in the hospital for, I think, 4 days until I was cleared to get on a plane and go fly out to Utah, where I went to treatment. So it was kind of, the decision was made for me. But I also knew in that moment, and I'm so grateful for this, that it got to that point. I knew that the game was over.
Yeah.
And I'm the kind of person where, like, I have to try all my options until I'm going to change the way I'm living, really, whether even when that comes to, like, you know, gut health.
Yeah.
I mean, the same kind of thing happened. I would rather, like, take the easy way out. So
yeah, I think so many people would rather sort of not make the hard changes, but make, you know, the easier changes.
Yeah, like the Band-Aid. And, like, I had gone to treatment before, and I was like, oh, it's the Xanax that's the problem. I can still drink and do the other stuff. And then I was like, oh, I'm a love addict. It's not the drugs or the alcohol. And I would try to do all kinds of things so that I could not face the fact that I am a drug addict and alcoholic and I can't drink or use. And so I'm glad that some people call it the gift of desperation. You know, I had the gift of desperation when I got sober because I knew that if I were to drink or use again, I would probably die. So I have to adopt a new lifestyle.
And so when you, beyond going to treatment, and you started to gain that mental clarity, what did that process look like for you? I know now you're into meditation. Did you seek out therapy? What kind of things did you incorporate into your life to give yourself that mental health?
I had a ton of therapy. I still go to therapy. I'm a proponent of it.
Me too.
Even it's just so good.
Even if you don't like have a drug problem, alcohol problem or anything, like therapy.
If there's not like an identifiable issue, it's still like, I mean, I have revelations every week and I'm like, whoa, I thought I was like totally good. No. So lots of therapy. You know, I was in treatment for 3 months and then I was in an extended treatment for 3 months, and then I was in sober living for 6 months. So I was kind of in a sober environment, treatment environment, for a year, and I think I would have stayed sober regardless, because what I did aside from therapy was, you know, I tried to build a community around me, and that's been like the biggest thing in my life. I think is building a community of people who are either going through the same things or have been through the same things, and who are like-minded and all trying to better ourselves. Community is so important, and it's such a big part of wellness that I think is overlooked. And it's so easy these days to like stay inside, like especially with Instagram. Keep it inside Instagram and like not actually go out in real life and meet people. And so community was huge because I had people, other women my age who were going through the same thing, and we could share about it. And it's like, if you keep that stuff inside, that's what makes you sick.
And I think that's so important for anybody is seeking out, especially women, seeking out those girlfriends who you can have that connection with, who you can have that bond with, so that even if you're not talking about the issues, even if you're not ready there, just so you don't feel so alone. Because anybody going through anything, you know, if it's, you know, addiction or anxiety, you still have that feeling that can be so isolating. And I think finding people that remind you that you're not alone in this world can almost be that sort of like North Star to help you find a better way.
And I know for me with my alcoholism and addiction, it started because whether it was perceived or real, I felt separate from my peers. even though I was popular and everything looked good on the outside, inside I felt separate and I felt alone. So I found that like alcohol was a good lubricant, and it's like as soon as I drank, I felt like I was part of, and I just chased that obviously to the, you know, almost the end.
Wow.
So yeah, human connections, very important.
So let's kind of shift gears and talk about the health and fitness aspect of it. So you got to a place where you felt more in control mentally, and that's when you then sought out fitness and health?
Yeah, 100%. I didn't even intentionally do it that way. I just think it took all my energy to work through the stuff that I was working through. And, you know, like I said, building a community, and it just wasn't important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And finally,
you guys, my dog is chewing a bone very loudly in the studio right now. I apologize.
Okay. I love it. I don't remember exactly why I felt like, okay, I'm going to start with like the physical aspect now. I think just over time, I started feeling kind of uncomfortable physically. And when you get sober, a lot of people gain weight. I mean, I wasn't eating before. And I was...
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
See, I would think it would be the opposite, because I feel like alcohol makes you gain weight. But maybe that's just because I drink alcohol on top of eating a lot of food.
Yeah, I know. I think it's different for everybody. For me, I didn't eat for like a month. So I was just like drinking. I mean, I was emaciated. So...
Wow.
And my metabolism was all messed up from years of doing that and years of doing stimulants and stuff like that. So... I do remember kind of feeling like my body was out of my control, and I was trying to work out. I had a trainer, and I just felt kind of aimless. And so it was at a time when BBG was kind of like on the up and up, and it was hot. And I followed like Kelsey Wells, who's now a good friend of mine, which is weird, and some of like the OG BBG girls. And I was like, there's no way that you can work out three times a week and have these results. Like, I, not to be promoting it, but I always just had, I had this idea that like more is more, like you need to diet more and you need to work out more to get results. And so it was very eye-opening for me.
Yeah, it's interesting because one of the first posts that I remember finding of yours was about workout, and you had said that you only did one round of each day. And to me, like, similarly, that boggled my mind, because I was in a similar position a few years ago, where I would be in the gym 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
And I weighed more than I do now. I wasn't as toned as I am now, but I was like, oh, if I just do more, then it'll be better, right? Yeah. And then BBG came into my life, and it was like, oh no, you can do less and just be more efficient about it and have similar results. And then when I saw you were like, oh, we can even do less than that. I was like, I need to figure that out.
I know. Whenever I talk about that, my nutritionist, Rob Yang, I don't know if you follow him, but he's like a strength and conditioning coach too. He's always, I see him start to look nervous, because it's like not that way for everybody.
Yeah.
Obviously. For me, I deal with a lot of inflammation issues. Mm-hmm. So if I do, I found that if I did the full BBG workout, I would be really inflamed and like retaining water. And I just felt like I got better results by doing like, 7 or 15 minutes of it, or 14 minutes or whatever. But it's different for everybody. And I, even in the beginning of my journey, I was kind of like rigid. I was like, I do BBG resistance 3 days a week, and I do cardio 4 days a week, and I am eating. And because I was just figuring it all out. And now I really like just stay attuned to my body. And some days I have tons of energy and I can like hit it really hard.
Yeah.
And then other days I'm like, no, I'm going to pass or I'm just going to walk.
Yeah.
So I don't really like, I don't know. I don't really have a set routine anymore.
Yeah. Can you, let's delve into that a little bit. Cause I think like I am an intuitive eater, and I try to be an intuitive, you know, worker outer fitness person. I'm intuitive about my fitness. But I think that concept is hard for people to grasp onto. Mm-hmm. Can you sort of break down how you are attuned to your body and how you listen to it and what sort of signals that you get from it?
Yeah, well, it started with my gut. So I had really bad gut issues, and about a year ago, it got to the point where I really couldn't even function anymore. And that kind of stopped me in my tracks, because up until that point, I had been like doing BBG, like we were talking about, and I was counting macros, and that can be a good and bad thing. I mean, I'm not going to like hate on it, but it wasn't great for me. My macros were way too low. I didn't know it at the time because I got them calculated. But so my gut was really acting up, and I was nauseous all the time and bloated, and I had no energy, and I like couldn't even work. And so that was kind of like the universe telling me to like stop and chill out.
Yeah.
And I had to totally change where my attention was and where my energy was going. And I had to learn how to like manage stress. And because that was a big contributing thing to my digestion and stress hormones and all of that. And so I had to like really shift my perspective. And that's kind of when I adopted that mentality of like less is more. And I focused a lot on nutrition and eating anti-inflammatory foods and focused on healing my gut and stress reduction. So meditation became a big part of my life, and sleep, and just things that people don't necessarily, I think people are talking about it more now, but we usually think of wellness in terms of diet and exercise.
Yeah.
And it's so much more than that. So meditation is like, back to your question, that's one way that I stay really in tune with my body. I mean, I do transcendental meditation. So it's silent.
What does that mean? Yeah.
It's silent meditation, 20 minutes twice a day.
Oof.
Yeah, I know. When I started, I was like, there's no way. Like, I can't. I mean, I would try to do 3 minutes and I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But the way that you learn is you go see a teacher at a TM center and you go for 4 days in a row for an hour every day.
And you meditate for an hour?
No, no, no. Oh. They teach you like the... Yeah, no. They give you a mantra. Mm. So you're saying your mantra for the 20 minutes. And the whole idea is that it's effortless. But if you're sitting there for 20 minutes, it's impossible not to tune in to what's going on in your body. So I'm really, I just pay attention to my energy levels. And I try to discern whether if I want to take a rest day, if I really need the rest, or if I'm just being lazy, and what kind of food I need. I mean, the thing with macros is that your body needs different things different days. So that's my issue with it. Like, if you're just going to say I'm going to eat X amount every day, it's not really like honoring what's going on in your body. So I don't know if I answered that.
No, I think that's right. And it's such a hard question to answer because everybody's body is different. Like, I get questions about my diet all the time, and it's like, for the most part, I don't eat meat. And then there's days when I need some meat. You know what I mean? My body's just like, you need this in your body.
And you know, like, if you listen, your body knows best, and your body will give you cues. Like, you just have to pay attention.
Yeah. And especially too with working out, because I think that balance of figuring out if you do need a rest day versus like, no, I just want to stay home. I don't want to go is hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think usually within the first 5 minutes of your workout, you know.
Absolutely.
And being able to be like, you know what? I'm just going to go home now is also okay, I feel like.
Yeah, totally. And the more time you kind of experiment with it, the better you're going to get at identifying. Like, no, I really want to take a rest day and it's okay.
Yeah.
Or like, no, I just don't. Like, sometimes it's just the getting there. That's the hardest part. But, yeah,
I was going to say. So you said that you started the Blonde Files, or now the Arielle Lori Instagram, as sort of an accountability site. And so how have you seen it evolved? What do you feel like resonates most with your audience?
Kind of interesting, because I feel like right now, particularly, I don't know if it's an algorithmic thing, if that's a word, or if I just made that up.
Works for me.
Sounded pretty good though, right?
Yeah, it did.
That some things like land and connect and like are on fire, and then other things that normally would in the past, like don't. Like, I'll post something and it's like crickets. So, but usually what I find is that, like we were talking about earlier, people really connect with a story and something authentic and vulnerability. And I just don't think it's enough anymore to like post a pretty outfit. Yeah. Like, it's just not connecting.
Mm-hmm. Plus, it's so oversaturated at this point.
Yeah, yeah, so much. So, I mean, I like to, I think people respond a lot right now to, like, skincare. Mm. And people always seem to respond to food. And just if I open up about my struggles. And when people ask me what they can do to get their blog out there or something like that, because I get a lot of, like, younger girls saying that they're trying to start, which I think right now it would be so hard to start. Mm. Power to them. But I try to just encourage, like, being vulnerable and telling your authentic story.
Were you vulnerable from the outset on your... Or when did you first start sharing your story?
I haven't gone back, like, to the beginning. I should in a long time. But I think that I just always had the intention of, like, really sharing what was going on. I don't remember any time that I felt like I had to censor myself or... I mean, in the beginning, I kept it anonymous.
Yeah.
So I didn't show my face, I don't think, or say my name for, like, the first 6 months.
Wow.
But I was still, like, talking about my life.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then with my personal life, I think to respect my husband, mm-hmm. you know, I try to keep most of that private.
Yeah.
But and then, other than that, I'm like an open book.
Is the response to talking about those darker moments and how you've overcome that usually positive, or do you ever face any sort of backlash for that?
No, I don't think I've ever received backlash talking about my stories. I get a lot of people that reach out and DM me and say that they're going through their own struggle mm-hmm. or that they have a loved one who's going through it. I mean, it's still kind of stigmatized, but it seems like everybody is at least one degree of separation away mm-hmm. from addiction or alcoholism.
Yeah.
So I've never received backlash. The only thing I ever really received backlash over is my relationship. And that's because Fox News posts articles with links to my Instagram. So it's just, they make it so easy. Yeah.
I have more followers.
Yeah, you know? I know. I'm like, thanks for the engagement. Yeah.
That is so funny. Yeah. So for anyone listening, because obviously you are providing with your story and sharing that on Instagram and having these women DM you who are going through something similar or who are associated with something similar, you're providing them with representation that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, right? And that there is a way to come back from that, right?
I hope so.
Yeah, I witness it daily when I'm stalking you.
Aw, you're so sweet. Yeah, I mean, if I can, like, provide a little bit of hope, then I'm doing my job. That's what I want to do.
For those listening who unfortunately don't follow you yet, but who will be following you by the end of this podcast, what would you say are some tangible tips they could take right now to move forward?
If they're going through their own dark time, oof, that's hard. I would definitely suggest therapy. Mm. I think that's a good way to start. I don't know if that's what you were referring to. But just somebody that you can talk to openly. And if you're dealing with something like addiction or mental health issues, I think a therapist is probably the best person to go to. And then they can steer you in a direction if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I would say finding a community too. Yeah. So however that may be, finding people who you can talk to who are going through or have been through the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's hard because it's different for everybody, whatever the circumstances yeah, are.
It's so true. And I think, you know, we've talked about therapy a little bit through this podcast. And I think sometimes when people hear that, I think there's like this like weird sort of defensive reaction about mm-hmm. it, where a lot of people respond like, oh, I don't have time for that, or I don't have money for that. And so I would say, in terms of finances, yes, that is a very real concern. That said, there are so many options now where you can mm-hmm. text therapists, you can Skype with them for like $10 a month. Yeah. Just don't go buy coffee two times and you have a therapy session.
And it's
worth it.
I mean, I understand, but it's also an investment. I mean, yeah. How are you going to be a functional person and you know, in life, and if you're not dealing with this stuff,
yeah,
it's just, you kind of have to like weigh the cost benefit.
Absolutely. And that's what I say about when people tell me they don't have time. It's like, if you don't have time to take, what my therapist is 50 minutes. If you don't have time to take 50 minutes mm-hmm. to make yourself a better human and walk through life more comfortably, it's for yeah. you.
Yeah.
Then what are you prioritizing? What kind of life are you leading?
Yeah. I think, you know, a tool that's free is meditation.
Yeah.
And the only thing with that is that I kind of see meditation as like the listening part. Like mm-hmm. I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual and I'll pray to, you know, what I believe in. And then I see my meditation as listening. So the thing is, if you're listening, then you have to know what to do with that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think it's a good place to start though.
Yeah.
I was going to say one more thing and I forgot.
Well, I was going to ask you too, like you've clearly transformed so much just 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. Your life has completely changed from, you know, being face down in your abandoned apartment to where you're at now. What if you could tell that girl something now that you've learned over the past 5 years, what would you tell her?
Oh my gosh, that's hard. I would probably tell her that it's okay to ask for help because I just decided that I couldn't do it. I mean, I guess maybe I saw it as a sign of weakness, or I just, that's all it would have taken. So, and that's another, I think that's a tangible thing that people can take too, is just don't be afraid to ask for help.
Absolutely. That is such a big one that I think women, especially as nurturers, are always so
right
scared of doing that. And that could be the difference between life and death mm-hmm. for so many people. Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to ask you 5 rapid fire questions that you can answer with a word, phrase, whatever works for you. What is one thing you couldn't live without?
Can I pick 2?
Yeah.
I'm like I can't do these rapid fire one thing.
That's okay.
One thing would be my faith.
Okay.
And not my religious faith, but just my faith in like something at work.
Yeah.
In the universe and in my life. I rely on that. So that was like 20 words. And okay. If I'm being totally honest, my phone.
Oh.
I mean, it's everything's on there.
It's true. I was going to guess chocolate because your whole chocolate drawer gives me goals. Do you guys, how much of a stalker am I?
I love it. It's so nice. I mean, and then if I was talking about food, it would be like chocolate and matcha and like, I mean, there's too many.
Too many things.
Too many
I can't live without everything.
Yeah.
What drives you?
I would say, sorry, I lost my train of thought.
I know, Tucker's really, really getting at that bone, you guys.
I mean, I'm driven by success. I think that comes from being around really successful people all the time. Mm-hmm. It's inspiring. And also on the more like vulnerable side, I guess, helping other people. I mean, that's always what I wanted to do. You know, when I started my account, I was in school for substance abuse counseling. Mm. And that's what I was doing. I was working in behavioral health and I wanted to help people. And then I realized like, I can do that on like a much bigger platform.
Yeah.
So.
That's really cool.
Those are two opposite end of the spectrum things.
No.
It's like success. And then like.
Well, you could be successful helping people.
Yeah, totally.
There you go. Just put them together.
I love
there
you
go. What keeps you positive?
Gratitude, for sure. I mean, it's the most powerful thing there is.
That is so true. I want to do a full episode on that because it will change your life.
Yeah. It can, if in any situation.
Yeah, just stopping. If you're like crying on the street, stopping mm-hmm. and like being like, oh, that is a beautiful tree.
Yeah.
Your whole day could turn around.
Yeah. I start my day with a gratitude list. Otherwise, I'm like, ugh.
No, but even you just starting your day like that sets you up for success the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge, huge proponent of that. What or who inspires you?
my husband.
Aww. Does he do something that inspires you, or just in general?
Just the way that he can, he's so creative, and he works so hard, and constantly switching gears, and then he comes home, and it's like, none of it even happened. I mean, he's just, he takes it all kind of, he makes it look so easy, and yeah, he has an amazing story. So, I mean, that would be a whole other podcast, but he's very inspiring.
I love that. And what is your intention? It could be for today, tomorrow, or your lifetime.
Community, I would say. Yeah. I try not to get too far in the future, but community today, you know, building a community today and doing what I can, hopefully to grow a bigger community as time goes on. I think in different areas of my life too.
I love that. I love that. And I know our community here totally loved this podcast. So if they want to see more of you, hear more from you, where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram at Arielle Lori. And what else? Should I do my...
This is your YouTube, plug time, girl. Whatever you want.
YouTube.com/TheBlondeFiles. Or I have a podcast coming out too, Over the Influence.
Ooh, bum, bum, bum. Yeah. I'm excited. And as always, you guys can find me at Hannah Cranston. Please, please, please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode. Also, please rate and review this podcast. I'm giving shout outs every week and reading some of your comments. So please be sure to do that. And just a reminder, we'll be coming at you every Wednesday. So buckle up, because it's going to be too much to handle. See you next week. Oh!